Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Native Sun, the show for Indigenous issues on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. The first article I have for you today is from Cronkite News. Hobbs pledges $7 million to speed state museums' work to return ancestors and artifacts. This is by Mackenzie Miller, Matthew Bird, and Justin Patton of Cronkite News and the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism at ASU. It was published on the 21st of January, 2025. The mood at Arizona State Museum and the University of Arizona in Tucson on Wednesday was shock. The museum staff, who facilitate the repatriation of Native American human remains and artifacts to indigenous tribes, learned that Governor Katie Hobbs was seeking $7 million to aid their efforts. That mood quickly shifted to excitement. "If that money comes to us, that will allow us to move forward," said James Watson, the museum's associate director, who oversees repatriation work. Arizona State Museum, ASM, houses the state's largest collection of human remains eligible for repatriation to two tribes under federal law, but for years has been seeking more staff and more space for the work. Speaking at her annual Tribal State of the State address last week, Hobbs told representatives of Arizona's 22 federally recognized tribes that her budget request will speed up ASM's efforts. "The hardworking staff at the museum have done their best to repatriate human remains and artifacts to tribes without any significant financial investment from the state," Hobbs said. "It's time for that to change. It's time for the state to take repatriation seriously." The Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act of 1990 requires museums and other institutions to identify human remains and cultural artifacts in their collections and make them available to tribes for repatriation. However, an investigation last year by Cronkite News and the Howard Center for Investigative Journalism found that ASM had failed to meet the repatriation timeline set out in the law, in part because the university system had not adequately funded the work or provided enough space for the time-consuming process of identifying human remains and artifacts. The governor's office said the investigation by Cronkite News and the Howard Center helped bring Hobbs' attention to the issue. "The reporting has undoubtedly helped shine a light on these important issues," said Liliana Soto, the governor's press secretary. ASM had previously said that completing the repatriation of ancestors and artifacts in its collections would take until 2030. However, in a phone call with the Howard Center last week, Watson said more money would allow the museum to hire additional necessary staff and could shorten the museum's repatriation timeline by at least 2 years. "We can hire more people to work on repatriation and help associate projects. But that doesn't solve the issue we have with space," Watson said. "The funding could certainly help us attain our goals sooner, and I think that's what's most important." As of April 2024, ASM previously made available about half the human remains in their collection for repatriation. The governor's office said Hobbs is committed to addressing the challenges faced by ASM and helping them to become compliant with NAGPRA. Governor Hobbs recognizes how critical this allocation is for ASM, the state's archaeological repository, as they have faced funding shortages and have delayed repatriation efforts, Soto said. Lawmakers are set to vote on the budget by the end of June. If passed, the funds could come as soon as July 1st. Cronkite News and the Howard Center also investigated repatriation efforts at Arizona State University, which holds the state's second-largest collection of remains and artifacts, and found the university also faced staffing and space crunches that impeded repatriation. The June 2024 report revealed that since NAGPRA's enactment in 1990, ASU had made available to tribes fewer than 2% of its collection items. That rate put ASU in the bottom quarter of institutions nationally. A spokesperson for Hobbs did not answer a question about whether the governor would request additional funding to speed repatriation efforts at ASU. On Friday, Cronkite News and the Howard Center asked ASU for comment about its recent repatriation work. The university did not provide any updates. An ASU spokesman, however, walked back statements appearing last week in a report from Capital Media Services suggesting ASU disputed the 2% figure from the Cronkite News Howard Center investigation. ASU officials had confirmed the same figure to Cronkite News and the Howard Center in June. On Friday, when asked about what was in dispute, an ASU spokesman said his office had contributed to a misunderstanding about the matter. And that was Hobbs pledges $7 million to speed repatriation. Doug Burgum comes out swinging. This is by Stuart Huntington of ICT and was published on the 5th of February, 2025. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum began his tenure this week with a string of orders he said would unlock America's full potential in energy dominance and economic development. The former North Dakota governor signed 6 secretarial edicts Monday, February 3rd, that closely align with President Donald Trump's vision for America, and claim to establish the nation's leadership in extracting critical minerals and eliminate harmful coercive climate policies established during the Biden administration. Burgum also promised a sweeping review of department policies, including maximizing the development and production of the natural resources located on both federal and state lands within Alaska. His order explicitly ended Biden administration guidelines on development of Alaskan lands. Burgum also ordered immediate enforcement of directives issued by Trump that end certain Biden-era bans on offshore energy development. The secretary directed that Interior staff take all actions available to expedite the leasing for oil and gas exploration and production within the formerly protected ocean areas known as the Outer Continental Shelf. Burgum's directives also opened the door to redrawing the boundaries of national monuments created under the Antiquities Act by previous presidents to protect unique landscapes and cultural resources. Among the sites most at risk are Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments in Utah, where state officials fought against their creation. Grand Staircase Escalante holds large coal reserves, and Bears Ears has uranium. Trump reduced the size of the 2 monuments during his first term, calling them a massive land grab. He also lifted fishing restrictions within a sprawling marine monument off the New England coast. Biden later restored protections for all 3 sites. Whether Trump has the authority to change the boundaries of existing monuments is unclear and part of a pending legal case. Burgum directed Interior staff to draw up detailed plans to implement his orders within 15 days, kicking off his tenure at the Interior Department, which oversees more than 500 million acres of public lands, including more than 400 national parks, 560 national wildlife refuges. Underlying his actions is the Trump administration's contention that the U.S. is experiencing a national energy emergency at a time when domestic oil production is at record levels. Burgum pledged to protect the lands. We will achieve energy dominance by sustainably developing our natural resources while championing clean air and clean water, protecting our most beautiful lands, and expanding outdoor recreation, he said in the statement. We will treat our natural resources as national assets, which are for the benefit and use of the American people. He also cited his work with tribal nations while serving as governor of North Dakota. In North Dakota, we share geography with 5 sovereign tribal nations, he said. The current partnership is historically strong because we prioritized tribal engagement through mutual respect, open communication, collaboration, and a sincere willingness to listen. At Interior, we will strengthen our commitment to enhancing the quality of life, promoting economic opportunities, and empowering our tribal partners through those principles. Groups representing the oil industry praised Burgum's orders. American energy leadership is back, said National Ocean Industries Association President Eric Milito. The declaration of energy emergency, however, has drawn pushback from Democrats and environmentalists. If they're going to say there's some energy emergency that overrides the Antiquities Act, they're going to get laughed out of court, said Aaron Weiss with the Center for Western Priorities. Litigation challenging Trump's previous monument reductions was still pending when Biden reversed them and has never been settled, Weiss said. The Associated Press contributed to this piece, which was, Doug Burgum comes out swinging. Navajo Nation reaches agreement with mining company over uranium ore transport. This published on the 29th of January, 2025, in the AZ Mirror, written, as most AZ Mirror articles that I read are, by Shandine Silversmith. After months of negotiation, the Navajo Nation and Energy Fuels Incorporated have signed an agreement allowing the transport of uranium ore along federal and state highways throughout the Navajo Nation, with transportation set to resume in February. We have a settlement agreement that will allow the Navajo Nation to monitor and inspect the haul trucks that provide financial compensation for the expenses to improve safety and protect the environment, Stephen Etzedi, executive director of the Navajo Nation Environmental Protection Agency, said in a press release. The agreement comes nearly 6 months after Energy Fuels Incorporated voluntarily halted transportation following the company's first transport through the Navajo Nation with little notice to the tribe. The company then entered into negotiations with the Navajo Nation in August of 2024 after the tribe condemned their actions. Energy Fuels President and CEO Mark Chalmers said he's honored the Navajo Nation is willing to work with the company in good faith to address their concerns and ensure that uranium ore transportation through the Navajo Nation will be done safely and respectfully. The agreement has not been made public, but a press release issued by Energy Fuels outlines some of the details. The mining company said it has agreed to add additional protections and accommodations in addition to the existing U.S. Department of Transportation requirements, which include limiting transportation to specified routes and hours of the day, and not transporting on days involving celebrations or public events. The company also said it would follow clear emergency response procedures, abide by notice and reporting requirements, carry additional insurance, and give its drivers extra training and qualifications, including obtaining Navajo Nation transport licenses. The company also said it agreed to use state-of-the-art cover systems, instead of the tarps it had previously said it would use, to prevent uranium ore dust from blowing out of transport trucks, establish provisions for escorts and blessings at the direction of the Navajo Nation, and additional inspection procedures that will enable the Navajo Nation to ensure that all applicable rules and agreements are being satisfied. We appreciate the sincere approach the Energy Fuels negotiation team took with the Navajo Nation, said Heather Claw, acting attorney general for the Navajo Nation. They demonstrated a genuine understanding for the Navajo Nation's and the Navajo people's trauma regarding uranium, and engaged as a partner in good faith to build a trusting relationship. The Navajo Nation's stretch of the Pinyon Plain Mine's approved uranium ore transportation route is more than half of the roughly 320-mile journey, with a total of 174 miles traveled on major state routes through Navajo land. This agreement isn't just about resolving a conflict, It's a commitment to protecting future generations, respecting tribal sovereignty, and ensuring that all voices are heard and valued, Governor Katie Hobbs said in a press release. As part of the agreement, Energy Fuels committed to transporting up to 10,000 tons of uranium-bearing cleanup materials from abandoned uranium mines across the Navajo Nation. They have also agreed to support the Navajo Nation's transportation safety programs, education, environment, public health and welfare, and local economic development related to uranium issues. Details about the specific type of support were not provided. According to Energy Fuels, the company has safely hauled several hundred thousand tons of uranium ore and other materials along state and federal highways that cross the Navajo Nation between 2007 and 2024, with no incidents resulting in the spillage or release of ore. That was Navajo Nation reaches agreement with mining company. You're listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been bringing the disabled audio access to print information for over 45 years. Learn how you can support us at our website, sunsounds.org, where you can also listen to our live streams or individual episodes on demand. You can also listen to us at our new app, which is available for iPhone and Android devices at their respective app stores. Going back to ICT, on the 5th of February 2025, Jordan Bennett Begay wrote, "Billy Kirkland nominated for Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs." The White House quietly nominated Navajo citizen William Billy Kirkland as Assistant Secretary of the Interior, colloquially referred to as the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs, on February 3rd. The role focuses on assisting the Secretary of the Interior in fulfilling the treaty and trust responsibilities to tribal nations. The post was previously held by Brian Todd Newland, who resigned along with other political appointees in the Biden administration, a typical part of the process from one administration to the next. Newland is a Bay Mills Indian community citizen. The nomination was received by the Senate and referred to the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs on February 3rd. As of February 6th, the congressional database has been updated to show the Indian Affairs Committee will handle the nomination, not the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. ICT previously reported that both the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs and the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources were listed as the committees to handle the nomination. The nomination can be referred to the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources since it has jurisdiction over the Department of Interior. It also depends on the Senate leadership's priorities. In 1946, the House and Senate Committees on Indian Affairs were eliminated, and essentially this was during the termination era. The Senate Committee had been in existence since the early 19th century. All legislative and oversight of Indian affairs fell to more than 10 committees, a situation which resulted in sometimes disjointed treatment of Indian affairs and an often haphazard development of federal Indian policy, as stated on the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs website. The infrastructure was not adequate enough to address issues in Indian country. The committee came back in early 1970s, around the time of the Menominee Restoration Act, and became a permanent committee in 1983 after it became increasingly evident that if the Congress was to continue to meet its constitutional, legal, and historical responsibilities in the area of Indian affairs, an ongoing legislative committee with adequate expertise and resources should be reestablished in the Senate. President Donald J. Trump nominated Tara Sweeney from Alaska as Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs in his first term. She was a tribal member of Native Village of Barrow, traditional Inupiat government, and the Inupiat community of the Arctic Slope. Her nomination went through the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs in the summer of 2018. Previous nominations of the Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs from Newland in the Biden administration, all the way to Obama's first term with Larry J. Echohawk, has been handled under the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs and recorded as the Assistant Secretary of the Interior in the congressional database as written in statute. Forrest Gerard, Blackfeet, was the department's first Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs. Former President Jimmy Carter nominated him in 1977. Gerard focused on policy for the position and left the daily operations to the director of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Previously, the top post in Indian Affairs had been the Commissioner of Indian Affairs, but Carter had made a campaign to bring Indian Affairs into the top circle of policy discussions, wrote former ICT editor Mark Trehunt in his book, The Last Great Battle of the Indian Wars. Trehunt continued, "You have to understand that under the new arrangement, the Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs will not be absorbed in the day-to-day operations of the BIA as he will be with overall policy, fighting with the Interior Department, dealing with the Office of Management and Budget, the Congress, and major contracts outside the department," Gerard said on August 26, 1977. The Senate Committee of Indian Affairs had its organizational business meeting on February 5th to elect the chair and vice chair of the committee for the 119th Congress. The committee voted to make Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski chair and Hawaii Senator Brian Schatz vice chair. Murkowski is Republican, Schatz is Democrat. "Part of the passion I have for the Indian Affairs Committee is because it covers everything," Murkowski said during the February 5th meeting. "In a way, it's a mini appropriations where you have the ability to see so much. It's education, it's transportation, it's public safety, it's forestry. And we have such an important charge. It's solving the problem of and improving the lives of Native people." Who is William Billy Kirkland? Kirkland graduated with a degree in political science from the University of Georgia. Billy has been a longtime grassroots leader in the Georgia Republican Party, has served as an officer in the Henry County Republican Party, and has worked on numerous state and local Republican campaigns, including the campaign of former Governor Sonny Perdue, according to the Georgia General Assembly. He also has lengthy experience working in the Georgia House of Representatives, the Governor's Intergovernmental Affairs Office, and campaign manager for former Senator David Perdue. Native pundit Mike Stopp Cherokee said Kirkland is the best pick that we could have come up with. "I think he's the right pick because he's the right confluence of both the Trump mindset and the understanding that needs, and understanding the needs in Indian country. And you need someone in that position right now who can really advocate for Indian country, but also understands how the inner workings of the Trump world works," Stopp told ICT. In Trump's first administration, Kirkland served as a special assistant to the President of the United States and Deputy Director of Intergovernmental Affairs at the White House. He also held the position of Director of External Affairs within the office of the Vice President of the United States, according to an authenticated U.S. government information document. Stopp said Kirkland did a lot of behind-the-scenes work, and not the more typical front-facing positions within the executive branch during Trump's first term. "Native people will see this in the confirmation hearings," Stopp said. "He is well-versed in federal Indian policy, and like I said, he fits that description very well. He has the ear of the folks in the Trump administration, And that's who we need to hear the needs we have in Indian country, to make sure we don't get swallowed up in some of these other concerns the Trump administration is looking at, Stopp said. I know there's been a lot of issues the last week about tribes getting rolled up on some of the issues with funding, with the DEI decisions. Billy will be a good voice for us to talk about those things and talk about Indian country. Stopp expects Kirkland's priorities to align with those of Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum and the administration. Those priorities are to change the regulatory burden on everyone, including tribal nations. The National Congress of American Indians applauded the nomination. The National Congress of American Indians looks forward to engaging with Kirkland upon his confirmation to protect and further strengthen the government-to-government relationship and advance policy priorities that support tribal nations, said Mark Macaro, president of the organization, in a statement. We remain committed to working in partnership with the Department of the Interior to uphold tribal sovereignty. Arizona Representative Eli Crane, a Republican, also extended a congratulations on X. I look forward to working with you in this new role to secure wins for tribes in Arizona, Crane wrote. Kirkland will have to go through a hearing with the Senate Committee of Indian Affairs and a vote out of the committee, then go through confirmation on the U.S. Senate floor. A date for the committee hearing has not been established yet. That was Billy Kirkland nominated for Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs. You've been listening to Native Sun, bringing you news of Indian country on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. Music is Land Back by Hallucin Nation.